Good morning. So as you can see, our pastors are not here today. They are on vacation, enjoying some time with their family, which is definitely needed. They'll be back next Sunday, and Pastor Caleb will be bringing the word today. A couple announcements. Youth ages 13 to 23, you're invited to come to the Cary Coffee Shop. Have a night of worship and just some Christian fellowship. We have a good time there. We've been doing it how many times now? What, three, five? Four or five times? So it's been a good time, so we enjoy it. Also, Lighthouse Connections is this Saturday at 6 p.m. So if you're new within the last year or two, you're encouraged to go. I think Sister April and Brother Jesse, I don't see them sitting in their seat, but oh, they're in the back. Get with them and enjoy some time with connecting. Also, our Ohio district is hosting a youth adult event. It's this Saturday, October 21st, for ages 17 to 30. RSVPs are due today, so if you haven't done that and that's something you want to do, there is a flyer on the door back there if you want to get that number and text that you do want to go. And also, there's a couple of other announcements back there on our door, our flyers. Please look on our website and on our app and back there and just stay connected. We have a refuel conference coming up, encouraging everyone to come. It's going to be a good time. Brother Ryan's going to come with our call to worship.
Good morning. Well, the first thing I want to do before I do the call to worship is I want to ask everyone to keep the Only Believe Church in our prayers. If you haven't heard, Pastor Peter Dosick passed this past week. He was a spiritual father to not only our pastor, but to this church. So keep them in your prayers this week. His legacy will live on, I believe that. Amen. That's the goal of the Christian church, amen, that we continue to carry on after those who we saw as our fathers and leaders. Amen. Receive their reward. Amen. So just keep them in your prayers. He had a solid connection with this church to not only our pastors, but even members of our church that had been just, he was a discipler. He was a disciple who discipled. Amen. And that's what we've been learning here. So keep them in your prayers. So this morning, I want to talk a little bit real quick here about what the world's doing. And right now, as we keep this Israel in our prayers, I want to remind everyone that although we pray for Israel, we don't want to put our faith in these people that are all over social media and all over the TVs and all over the Facebook pages telling us that the world's ending, be prepared, get ready, Jesus has come, right? That's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be praying for Israel. But we don't need to put our faith in these people on TV. And this morning I want to open with a scripture out of the Gospel of Mark. It's in chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. And it says, after John was arrested, Jesus went to Galilee, preaching the good news of God. And Jesus said, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Those are the words that we're supposed to listen to. Those are the words that were declared and proclaimed to us way before anything in this time has happened. Any of the signs that we're looking for. You know, the church sits around, we like to sit around and look for a sign. We want to sit around and go, okay, so I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing until I see proof or somebody tells me that that's not what Jesus said. In the scripture, Jesus says the time has been fulfilled. The word he used there is not chronological time, it's kairos, which is an opportunistic, a strategic, a dedicated time for such a time as this. And Jesus said, that time is right now. He said, believe in the good news. Don't just believe that there's good news. Believe in the good news. The word Jesus used for believe there is putros. It means a relationship believing. It means to actually believe in the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? So that's worth celebrating today. That's worth turning your life today. If you haven't given your heart to Jesus, today's the day. If you've already given it to him, keep doing it. And if you need to do it again, don't be ashamed. Do it again. Amen? So if you'd stand with me now, we'll pray over our tithes and offerings. Lord, we thank you today for your good news. Lord, we thank you for our ability to believe in you and to trust and worship you, Lord. Lord, as we enter worship this morning, Lord, we ask that you prepare our hearts and our minds for this day. We ask that you bless our tithes and offerings. We bless those who bring them and those who receive them as we sow them into the kingdom of God. Lord, we just thank you and give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
My heart be the wind beneath. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, He is my song. You are good, good.
If you guys would like to bring your offering at this time, and we'll continue in worship. Amen.
never lets us down. Amen. We're going to sing a old hymn this morning, and it's a slow hymn, so don't stop worshiping. Sometimes we tend to, when we slow down, then we slow down, we slowly sit down and our hands go down, but don't stop worshiping. But this is an old hymn, and it was written during the Civil War, and I love this hymn, and I looked up the author, and he said it was during the darkest hour of the Civil War. And I was led to realize that God's leadership is the one significant fact in human experience, that it makes no difference how we are led or whither we are led, so long as we are sure God is leading us. Amen. And I thought, I love old hymns because it makes us realize, yes, we are living in a different time, but we go through many of the similar things. And it's our human experience. And as the author realized those many, many years ago, that the significant fact in our lives needs to be that we're being led by God. Amen. As Brother Ryan was talking this morning, we can be led by many different things, many different voices, you know, and even Christian voices. One person will tell us one thing, and another person will tell us what seems to be the opposite thing. And sometimes our experiences are unique to us, and it feels like no one else has ever been through this. God, where do I even go? What do I even do? But the Word of God says that He leads us. The Word of God says He sticks closer than a brother. Amen. And no matter what you're going through this morning, what you're facing, what worries you have about our world, about our nation, God is leading us when we put our trust in Him. His voice, it won't fail us. Amen. So let's sing this old hymn. He leadeth us. Amen.
He leadeth me. Oh. Where I be.
congregation. Let's hear you sing it.
So this morning, there was something that was brought to my attention before service started. And I felt, as I was down here in worship and I was praying this morning, that I wanted to for us to pray. We have Bruce Barley in the house this morning, and his son is getting ready to be sent off to Israel. All right, he's in the military, he's a Marine. And this morning, we're going to have you come up forward if you would, brother. And we want to pray for you, and we want to pray for your son. We heard a little bit about our nation this morning from Brother Ryan, and you know, God's still on the throne. God is still there. He's still, listen, the story doesn't change just because it looks a little different than what we thought it was going to look like. The Bible is true. But this morning, I'm going to ask our prayer team, and I want to have Brother Mike, my great uncle, Don, if you would come up here. Don's a vet. He's been a father in the house for many years. He was a pastor, and he's a great uncle of mine. And Don, I want you to lead this prayer this morning. If anyone in here has seen it from that perspective, it's you. This morning you have hope. You have a hope. This morning, when you're going through things in your life and things may seem like it's getting tough on you, this song is literally singing what I'm preaching about this morning. You're not alone. He's with you. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you through it. I'm telling you this morning, if you've got something going on in your life, just raise your hands this morning. Close your eyes and receive what's being said in this song. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, your spirit.
Your spirit lives within me. So I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me. I make free.
Proclaim your victory this morning.
Your spirit lives within me. So I will walk in your peace.
God, we just love you this morning, Lord. God, we thank you that, God, when we come together in your name, Father, the Bible says where two or three of us are gathered, you will be there with us, Father. And this morning, we thank you, Jesus, for giving us hope, God. We thank you for walking alongside us, Father, leading the way for us, Father. We thank you for the victories that you win every day in our lives, God. Father, this morning, you've heard our prayers today, God, as we have reached out and stretched our hands towards the nation of Israel, God. Lord, we pray this morning, God, that your will just continue to be done, Father. God, we pray for the protection of that state of nation, God. We pray this morning, Lord, that your hand will just be upon those heading that way. God, we pray for wisdom to flow through governments. And God, as things come to pass through this, God, just let them see a biblical view. Your words, Jesus. Now today in this place, God, we thank you for what you've started to do, this good work this morning, God. We thank you. Father, we pray again for our pastors. Lord, you keep them safe this morning. And God, we just love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, everybody says amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. We are going to go ahead and release the children. They can go to their awesome classes that they have this morning. I gotta say, as a youth pastor, I see all these kids, and you know, my wife and I, we work with the teens, and I'm thinking, we're only going up. We're going up. We got kids coming in that are just on fire for God and to our teens, and I just tell you this morning, that is exciting to see the work that God is doing in their lives. We had men's mentoring moments the other night, and Pastor Joe was with us, and we were talking about some things, and I just want to say, and I know he's watching right now as he's driving, but be ready when he comes back, because he's had about this, I think this is the third week and he hasn't preached, so it's coming in hot, all right, when he gets back in his pulpit. So I'm excited for that. We love our pastor this morning. I'm honored that he would consider me to speak to you. I feel that God has given me a word for this church this morning. And can I just say this morning that we are blessed to have what we have. I know we had pastor appreciation last week, but listen, we have a pastor that doesn't just see the now, he sees the next. That's what he sees. He sees the future of this church. He sees where God's taking us. He's not focused on the right now, the here and now, the things taking place. Listen, God speaks a word to him. He runs with that word. And we are going to just keep going in that direction. We are blessed to have pastors that have a vision. Vision is key in success. But this morning, I want to speak to you, and I know it's a little bit of reading for the start, but I got to read it. I sat there, I was putting this message together, and I was messing with myself. I'm like, man, do I put all these verses in there? Do I not? And I'm just going to do it, all right? I'm going to speak to you this morning on never giving up. Never giving up. And I'm not just talking to the Christians this morning or the people that are saved in any way, shape, or form. I'm talking to everybody this morning. Maybe some of you are here in this place today that aren't saved and you're struggling trying to find a path that you need to take for the rest of your life. Maybe some of you have been saved for a year. Maybe you've been saved for 30 years. I don't care. This message is for you to not give up. To not quit, to not back down. God is with you, and he is on your side, and if he said he will do it, he will do it. So I'm going to start reading in 1 Kings chapter 19. Now listen, I'm going to do my best to get these words right, all right? I'm not an English teacher, and I ain't going to claim to be one. I can't even hardly spell very well. Thank God for copy and paste when it comes to Bible scriptures, all right? So let's read our first slide. It says that Ahab told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with a sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, may the gods punish me and do so severely if I don't make your life the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. Then Elijah became afraid and immediately ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba, there that belonged to Judah, he left his servant there. But he went on a day's journey into the wilderness, and he sat down under a broom tree and prayed that he might die. He said, I have had enough. Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors. Then he laid down and he slept under the broom tree. Then suddenly an angel touched him. The angel told him, get up and eat. Then he looked, and there at his head was a loaf of bread baked over hot stones and a jug of water. So he ate and drank, and then he laid down again. Then the angel of the Lord returned for a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, or the journey will be too much for you. So he got up and he ate and he drank. Then on the strength from that food, he walked 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. He entered the cave and spent the night. Suddenly, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of armies, but the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are looking to take my life. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain in the Lord's presence. And at that moment, the Lord passed by. A great mighty wind was tearing at the mountains and was shattering cliffs before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And when the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord again was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a voice, a soft whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And suddenly, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? I have been very zealous for the Lord God of armies, he replied. But the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left. And they're looking for me to take my life. Then the Lord said to him, go and return by the way you came to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you are to anoint Hazael as king of Aram. You are to anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as the king of over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, from Ablahoa, I don't know, as prophet in your place. All right, they don't make that easy for Caleb to read version. All right, those are names. But what do we have? What's going on in this story this morning? What exactly are we getting at this morning? You see, Elijah is coming off of a giant moment in his life. He's coming off a moment in his life where he had just killed 450 false prophets, right? He called down fire from heaven. This is what took place in the chapter before 19. If you read in the Word, what happened is Elijah was proving to these false prophets that their God wasn't real, right? And he's out there and he's kind of cocky about it, right? He's out there saying, you know, they're building altars. He told them to build an altar and try to make God, I think they said bring the rain, was it? They were, because Baal was the prophet of weather or the god of weather. And their God wouldn't respond to them. They wouldn't answer, obviously, right? But when Elijah got up there, he calls down fire from heaven. How many times in your life have you been to a point where you have been, boom, way up there in your ministry and in your life, and you have felt basically indestructible? We've all been there. I've been there. Elijah knew that the one true God was real. In our ministry, we walk in this authority, knowing that God is real, knowing that he's the only God. He delivers us from things. We watch him move. We watch him do amazing things and miracles and signs and wonders. But yet, for some reason, we get fearful in certain situations, and we just basically allow the devil to just come into our lives and just start to shift our thought process. This fear comes in our life in certain times, and what that does is it starts to eliminate our faith. You guys are quiet. Elijah went from feeling completed to defeated. The completion is when he was there and he called the fire down. 450 men, but yet when Jezebel sent out for him, sent the messenger. Did you catch my slide with that verse this morning? Sent a messenger. I had a little Facebook messenger. Maybe I figured only the young people would get it. No offense, all right. But this man, after he did these things, this Jezebel sends a messenger to him to relay what she's going to do to him. And all of a sudden, that one thing shifted this guy. It took him from killing, I just can't say it enough, the 450 false prophets that he dealt with, and then one person sends a message to take his life, and the man goes on a day's journey, lays under a tree, and asks God to die. He became defeated. You see, God moved in him and was moving in what he was doing before this. God was with him. God showed to him. He proved himself to him, to those around him. God was there. He came down from heaven as fire. But one person made a difference. One person got Elijah wanting to die. One person. I want to speak to you this morning a little bit about some certain things that hinder our walks. Can I tell you this morning that just because you're saved doesn't mean that you're not going to deal with things? It does not mean that you're not going to have struggles that you go through in your life. We just talked with the teens about this not too long. We had a discipleship message that I put together, and this was amazing because as we're talking about this, we had some new girls that were with us that day, and here I am up there talking about how we deceive new Christians by telling them that Christ is in your life, now things are going to be good. It's going to be all right. You know, you got Jesus. Although that is true, we failed to follow up with but listen, this is what's going to happen now. The enemy's coming at you hard. He's going to come at you 10 times harder. He's going to try to take away all these things. He's going to try to produce doubt in your life. He's going to try to put fear inside of you like you've never felt before in your life. And he's going to come at you in all these different ways. We were being real with these kids. And what happened after that, this is what amazes me so much, is that after I speak about how rough life can be when you become a Christian, I had two young women raise their hand and say, "What's it mean to be saved? What's it mean to be saved? I don't know what that means." So it gave us the opportunity to break it down for them, understand what it means to ask Christ into your life, and also follow up with, listen, you're making a choice to go after Christ, but listen, what I said tonight is going to be true. You are going to be dealing with some things now that you weren't dealing with before, but can I tell you this? Now you have access to the one who has already beat everything that's going to come your way. Amen. We were real. We were 100% with these teens. I can't help but to talk about them. They're out here today, and that's great. But I'm telling you this morning that we need to start being real with people about Christ. You will see more people get connected and plugged in with Christ and maintaining that if we share the whole aspect with them. We lose a lot of people to Christianity because we say, "Repeat this prayer after me." I wasn't going here this morning, but they said, "Repeat this prayer after me and you're going to be saved." Now, I'm not going against that prayer, and I fully understand and I respect that. But I'm telling you right now, once they say that prayer and they mean that prayer, you follow right back with them and say, "Now listen, here's what you got now. Now you have a relationship with a responsibility in your life. You have a relationship with responsibility in your life." It is important that we're real with people as we minister to them, as we give them Jesus, as we just go day in and day out. Because, like I said, how many times, those of you in this room that have been in ministry, raise your hand if you've ever had a moment where you were just questioning God. If you've ever had a moment where you felt like maybe you're giving up, Maybe you felt like you weren't cut out for this. Maybe you felt like this wasn't for you anymore, right? Maybe just maybe you got to a point in your life where you were like, that's it, I'm done, I don't care. Maybe it doesn't look like you thought it was going to look like. Just maybe. Maybe you fell into this word that I can't stand and I deal with it on a daily basis. Leah and I talk about this constantly with the teens, but depression or maybe anxiety. That's what happened here. This is what happened to Elijah. He fell into a depression because of what was going on. He fell into this. The depression, and what that did is, like I said, the depression set in, it created fear, and it started eliminating his faith. The man that killed 450 is now scared of one. It started crushing him. He let it set in. How many times in your life this morning can you look at me and think honestly that you have been through a depression? You have walked through some things in your life. Maybe your ministry. Maybe you've gone through some things in your ministry and you're just like, I don't know what's going on. I don't even know what to do. You don't have to know what to do. Can I tell you? You also, maybe you don't even know Jesus this morning and you're struggling with things day in and day out. And though I told you he will be there for you, he will also, there's nothing when you accept Christ in your life that he has not already conquered in, for you. He has a plan for your life. He's if he sets you out to do something, he's going to do it. If he started a good work in you, he's going to complete a good work in you. Some of you need to hear that this morning. I'm excited this morning that I got my man, Zayden, with us this morning. And I, once again, man, I'm just going. But I was thinking about something as we found out. He kind of surprised his family coming in this week. But I seen some posts, and I heard some things that he was doing over there. He's getting guys to come to church that are on his track team, right? Not only that. He says, he's telling guys that if you come to my church, I'll go to your church. But he'll go to their church first. He doesn't care. He just wants them to be in church. He doesn't care. It excites me to know that we have somebody from this church right here penetrating what the darkness is in Texas right now, because he is just leading people to Christ. We started this year for our teen ministry, and you know, in this house out here, we have the Reach and Teach, right? That pastors have set over this house. I think it was last year and this year, and we kind of added to that with our teens. We threw in there equip and send, reach and teach, equip and send. It moves me. It absolutely just moves me to see when we're sending kids out of here and they're sticking to it. Because they're going through depression. They're struggling with anxiety at times. They're struggling with what path's the right path and which way's up from down a lot of times. And you know what? Some of them might just have so much fame or whatever in their name and everybody likes them, and that gets tough to be a Christian still. It does. It really does. But you have to make the choice of whether letting that defeat you or continue to walk in the completion that has already taken place. Now, what I really loved about this is as Elijah is laying there and this angel comes to him, what's there for him to eat? Bread. Bread. What's bread symbolize? The Word of God. It symbolizes the Word of God. Elijah ate the bread not once but twice. The first time was not quite enough to get him back on his feet, so the angel came back and woke him again, saying, "The journey is too great for you. You are going to need more strength." He gets up, he eats the bread, he falls back to sleep. The angel comes back again and said, no, you need to keep eating. You need to keep eating this bread. So he eats it again. How often in our lives today has as we're going and walking through things that maybe somebody has tried to give us a little bit of a word of knowledge, and we thought, ah, that's not for me. I'll wait for the next person to come by. Another way you can look at this is he's not just giving you enough strength for a day's journey. This is what I love about this. This man traveled for a day's journey. No. God gave him the strength and the bread and the water to go for 40 days. 40 days. 40 days. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am this morning. Elijah had a job to do. He had somewhere to be. He had an appointed time. God started a work in his life. And all he needed was the strength to get there. I think it is phenomenal when I look into this and see that this man went from a day's journey, feeling completely defeated, to eating one meal to go for 40 days. And if you pay close attention to the text, it doesn't say where he was exactly sending him. It doesn't say why he needed to keep going. How about that? How about that? How about maybe us leaders? All of us are leaders in here, right? If you're a Christian, you should be leading somebody. What kind of heart is that? When someone over you in your life says, I need you to do this. Here's what you need, go do it. How about the heart when Elijah, when he finally ate the bread and he drank the water and he had what he needed, he got up and he went. He didn't say, why am I going here? Where am I going? What's going to take place when I get there? All these things. No. He went where he was sent. If you're in this house, in this place, you have pastors that are not just making bench warmers. That's not what we're about here. And I can say that because he ain't here. But that's not what we're doing. We're not raising up a bunch of people to fill seats in the house of God. No. No. We are equipping people. We are reaching them and teaching them. We are equipping them and sending them for the work of the ministry. And I'm telling you this morning, if God's speaking something to your life to get out there and get a hold of somebody because they need Jesus, then it's time for you to start stepping into the calling upon your life and start going where God is taking you. It's time to stop worrying about what is on the other side of where I'm going and just trust in the path that he set before you and go. Giving up is not an option. No, he will not give up on you. Don't give up on him. And don't give up because it doesn't seem right in your mindset. It gets tough. You cannot see. Growing up, even in this church before I left, man, I was Pentecostal from the ground up. I understood it all. But something that I never fully understood was speaking in tongues. I didn't get it. And that actually struck some nerves in me because it almost got me, the devil used that to say, if you can't speak in tongues, you can't be saved. That's some of the things that I dealt with. I come back to church years later and I just listen. I just sit down and I listen. What are you speaking to me, God? What are you using my pastor for right now, God? I wasn't even trying and I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I remember the day Leah got filled with the Holy Ghost. It was the coolest moment ever. Marie Turner, was she preaching? Or was it Ron? It was Ron Wagers. Yes, mine was Marie. Ron. Before the service started, this was amazing. God showed me something. I pulled my book out and I wrote, Leah will get filled with the Holy Ghost today, period. And I closed it and I put it away so I could prove it to her later. I felt that. I knew it. What do you know? I'm up there praying with somebody at the altar, and I hear just run-da-da-da-da-da my son. I'm like, whoo. God took the things that I dealt with and just gave me an abundance of these things. He gave me an abundance of understanding of what these things are. He gave me an abundance. He multiplied things in my life. It's important for us to understand the fullness of the Word of God. It is crucial for us to understand the fullness of the Word of God. looking at more context in Scripture, looking at things deeper. Maybe you've tried to reach some people over these last few weeks and you're struggling because you just don't know what to say. Go back to your word. Go back to the bread. Go back to the same bread that brought Elijah on a 40-day journey. Go back to the bread. Go back to your Bible. Go back to your word. Remember something. If I could teach you something this morning about reaching out to people, is you are not reaching them. You are making a connection and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to them. This is why each and every one of you are a critical point of this. This is why you're still here. Melvin, you still have a purpose in this church, in this world right now. You still have God has a plan for you still. You're still with us this morning. My goodness, God knew we needed a need for a Hispanic church plant. He brings this dude from Cuba because he had a job for him to do. So he's here. Let me speak to you on that just a second. He has so many connections across this world, it'll blow your mind. There's mega churches that love having him. Love him being a part of things. But no, he said, I don't care what I'm feeling like I should do. I'm doing what God wants me to do. I can't even see it, but I'm going to do it. I'm giving you real life examples this morning of stuff going on in this house. Things taking place right here in this church. But we got to remember something. The next slide, I believe it's Philippians. I'm messing him up. You got one man back there, I'm walking around, and he's doing the slide. That's my fault. Philippians 4:19, it says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I want you to say that right now. Say it with me. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know who wrote that? Anybody know who wrote that? The Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul. You know where he was at when he wrote that? He was in prison. A man in prison who's trying to reach people writes this as he's locked up. You're going to feel locked up in your ministry. You're going to feel locked up in some tight situations in your life. Listen, you're going to feel completely defeated. Don't let the enemy stop from what he is trying to do in your life. Don't let it happen. Take authority over these things. You have the authority. The Bible says that you have the authority to stomp. Stomp on them. Stomp on them. We have the authority, but why do we not walk in the authority? 24/7, 365, you have the authority. This is up to you. Walk in the authority. Walk in the anointing that God has placed on your life. Own these things. You may not understand it at that time, but it doesn't matter. Use what the Word of God says. Walk in it. Stomp on it. Cast those things out. You can do those things. You don't need the apostle, prophet, preacher, teacher, evangelist, Darius or Caleb or Ryan to get up here preaching and lay hands on you to do it. No. You need to reach into the authority that God has given you, and you take control of these situations by the authority in Christ Jesus. He will give you the strength that you need to complete the work that he has set out for you. If he started the work again, he will finish it. Elijah trusted the Lord. He trusted him. But this brings me to an illustration that I wanted to do. And I did this kind of with the teens back there, but I think it's amazing because we now have access through the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit that was sent by Christ himself to be a comforter, to lead us and guide us through things, to help us do things the way that we need to do them. We have this Holy Spirit. So what I want to do is I need somebody tough, somebody strong, right? I'm going to call this person out just because I thought about it. And when he first started coming to church here, I'm like, man, that dude's got some pythons. You know I'm talking. Yep, come here. I need Ryan to come up here real quick. He's a good man. And actually, I'll use his co-pilot, Brad, to come up here as well. And I'm going to do a small illustration with you this morning to represent some things. I know you only use like pound and a half dumbbells usually, but hopefully you can pick these up. So before we get going this morning, what I'm going to ask you to do is you're going to grab this heaviest weight right here, and I want you to hold it out in front of you, all right? Now, you're a big dude. Don't make me talk too long, right? But you go, and when you're starting to struggle, I want you to say, Holy Spirit, help me. And you are going to portray the Holy Spirit. You can come on this side of him. And then what I want you to do is I want you to grab that arm, and I want you to help him hold that arm, okay? So you go ahead and grab that weight. You hold it out in front of you. Hopefully I didn't eat my words here. You just hold it out there. So this is representation right here of us doing something on our own. And as you watch him, you're going to see that he's going to start struggling. Hopefully soon. I know you're strong, but maybe I should have got a 20 pound. I'm eating my words right now. You can even fake it if you need to. No, but maybe talk forever. All right, so Holy Spirit, help me. And this comes to play right here. This is what happens. When you're in your life, you go to pick this weight up, and you try to do it for so long on your own, all the way until the point you can't do it anymore, then you say, Holy Spirit, help me. You can set that down. Thanks. You guys can have a seat this morning. Actually, not you, Brad. You stay up here. I want you to stand right here. I'm going to have Ryan Klaus come up here this morning. So we just covered what the Holy Spirit, what he will do for us when we call upon his name, right? When we ask him to help us, guide us, get us through some situations, when stuff's feeling heavy, stuff's getting difficult in our lives, and he's going to show up and he's going to help us. But why do we wait until we have no more strength in us to call upon his name? So this is what happens. This is what happens if you got it figured out. Go ahead, Ryan. Right here's what happens. This is what it's supposed to be like right here. Listen.
Spirit, help.
That was a lighter weight than the first one. Go to the next one. Holy Spirit, help me, he says. It doesn't matter if it's the lightest thing in the world that you're going through, the little things that you think that you figured this out in your mind, you know what to do here, you know what this is going to look like. It doesn't matter. Holy Spirit, help me. And then you can drop that weight and you can come to this heavy one again and you just say it as soon as you pick it up off the ground, Holy Spirit, help me. There's a reason why he's there, and it's not for us to wait till the end of our race to call upon his name. Amen. He's there because he wants to get you through your race. With him, you can walk your race. You can run your race. It doesn't matter what's coming your way. It doesn't matter. You guys can be seated. It does not matter the weight of ministry that comes and takes place in your life. He wants to be there with you, help you, lead you, and guide you through that. We serve a God that doesn't want you to feel alone or left out. He doesn't want you to give up. And then it comes to this point where Elijah, he gets to this cave, right? He's in the cave, and then he comes out to the front of the cave, and then you have first the wind comes. Then you have an earthquake. Just starts shaking. Oh, it's got to be God, man. That's powerful. That's huge. That's an earthquake. Fire. It's got to be God. That's fire. And then it was the whisper. He came to him in the whisper. It's not always the big flashy things that God uses to speak to us. It's not always some giant moments in your life or these just groundbreaking things when God's wanting to speak to you. No. God wants to speak to you in that. Can you hear the voice? Can you hear the small whispering voice from God? Or are you missing it? Because it doesn't look like what you thought it was supposed to look like. Don't miss what you're looking for because it doesn't look like what you thought it was going to be. Our pastor preached a message, and I totally took that from him, that saying. This was like 4 or 5 years ago on an Easter Sunday back there. And I remember this. I'll never forget it. And he was talking. He was preaching a salvation message. And he said, don't miss what you're looking for because it doesn't look like what you thought it was going to be. It's not always the big things. It's not always these giant earthquakes and these big moments in your life or in your ministry. Maybe you've had the greatest event take place in your life or that you put on and it was great. But did God speak to you? God should be speaking to us as Christians constantly, on a regular basis. God, you should be able to hear his voice. He wants to speak to you. He wants to guide you and lead you and protect you. But if all that you're receiving is the big things, then you're not really receiving much. If your mind is trained to the only time God's speaking to me is if there's a bunch of people falling down at the altars in a church service, you're wrong. If the only time God's speaking to me is because I'm getting ready to preach on a Sunday morning, you're wrong. If the only time God's speaking to me because you're going on a missions trip and you're getting ready for that, you're wrong. Just listen. Just listen. Listen to his voice. Listen to what he's saying to you. Understand things. Listen, I cannot say this enough. Jeremiah 29:11. He's got a plan for you. He has a plan for you. But don't give up because it doesn't seem like it's your plan. It's not your plan. It's his plan. You're a part of it. There's somebody out there that only you are going to be, that's only going to receive Jesus because of something, the way you impacted them. That bears witness with the truth of what the gospel says. Somebody needs you. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't let the craziness of this world come at you in ways that starts to alter your thoughts. Or what you're thinking about, or what's going on, or what's taking place. No. I got guys that work for me, and they work at the same place I work at, and they'll talk about these things that are going on in the world and Israel and stuff, and they're because they know I'm a Christian, they know what I believe, and they'll try to get a rise out of me. Like, well, I got all the guns that I need, I got all the ammo, I got all kinds of food saved back, I'm ready to go. What about you, Caleb? I said, I ain't got that, but I'm ready. What do you mean? I said, what's the Bible say, man? What's the Bible say? What's taking place in our world today should be motivating us. Should be motivating us. I don't know. None of us know the day or the time. We don't know. As a matter of fact, I would encourage you to quit worrying about it. It's not about that. Start asking, seeking the face of God, saying, okay, where do I need to be tomorrow? Where do I need to be the next day? What about a year from now? 2 years, 3, 5, 10, all the way down the road from now. Start praying and asking God these things. Be like Elijah. When God sent him to do something, he just went and did it. He left. He didn't ask. He left. He went after it. Run after the plan that God has for you. It's time that we start chasing and taking things more serious in our lives. Go after it. Reach out and take what's yours. What's yours? To start walking. Walk in the authority of Christ. Talk in the authority of Christ. Now listen, I know I don't preach as long as Pastor Joe. And that's okay. I'll just blame it on the worship didn't go very long this morning. All right? But listen, here's what I want to do this morning as I'm kind of bringing this around. I've sought after God this week more than just the message portion of today. I've asked God, I've dug in. I said, I need to know, Father, what direction do we go after this? Do we have an altar? Do we not have an altar? What do we do? I believe this morning that we have I've been praying for this morning, for us to have a receptive heart, to receive some things this morning. So what I'm going to do, and listen, I'm doing this because this is what I feel, not because anyone else does it. This is, I preach every Wednesday. I figured out what works for me by now, okay? But I have a playlist, right, this morning. We're not going to have anybody, any musicians up here. But there's the first song on this playlist. Because I'm ready to punch Satan in the mouth this morning. I mean it. Some of you are dealing with some anxiety. Some of you are dealing with some depression probably in here. Some of you have got some stuff going on in your life. Some of you may be ready to quit your ministry. And I believe God has sent me here today to get you back on the track. No, I'm not some big name preacher. I'm actually just coming from the next building over. And that's okay. This is what I feel God's speaking to me, is that this morning there's some people that just need to be taken, literally picked up and set back on that track. There's a purpose for your life. So I'm just going to ask everybody to stand with your eyes closed. And I'm going to ask them to play that first song. What I want you to do as this song's playing, I just want you to open your hearts this morning. As this song's playing, listen to the words. I want you to raise your hand, and I just want you to open your hearts to receive what God's about to do in this place.
Your truth, I breathe out. All my fear, I breathe in. Your peace, I breathe out. Confusion.
Proclaiming that right now. Start proclaiming the words they're singing. Resentment,
depression, and all anxiety, they have no power over me. Addiction, strongholds, and every disease, they have no power over me.
If you're one of the ones in this room right now and you're struggling with some depression or anxiety, I'm going to ask you to make your way to the front right now. Chains right now of depression that are holding him down. In Jesus' name, freedom right now in the name of Jesus take place in his life. Show him, Lord, that he is not alone, Father, that you are with him through the day and night and all hours. You are there. You are with him. You have created a work in his life, and you will finish it until his time and his race is up. It is in Jesus' name we thank you for this right now. Hallelujah. Freedom right now, brother. Freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom. Hallelujah. You receive that. Say, I'm no longer a slave to depression. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I release a peace upon her life, God, through you, Jesus, that just completely overthrows any thoughts of anxiety right now in Jesus' name. Now, I come against the forces of the enemy right now that are trying to make her unsure of decisions in her life. Father, I come against these things in her life right now that's telling her that she cannot do it, that she's not qualified, that she's not able, she will not be able to do what she set out to do right now. I break those off of her in Jesus' name right now. And I release the peace of Jesus upon her right now in Jesus' name. Receive that in Jesus' name. Peace, peace with understanding right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Anxiety gone in the name of Jesus. Depression gone. Fear broken in Jesus' name. There is no chains upon this life. This morning they are removed by the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, God. Hallelujah.
The glory of the Lord sweeping in.
Not even 11:45 yet. Don't stop praising God. Come on, press in, church. God's not done this morning. If you got a need in your body this morning, and I'm feeling this, if you have a physical need that needs met this morning, I'm going to ask you to come forward this morning. We want to pray for you. Hallelujah.
Something has to break. Tear down every lie. Set the wrong thing right. When you have your way, something has to break. Something has to break.
as we pray, and I know we're kind of coming to a close and it's getting quiet, and I have a couple more people to pray for, I want to leave this open. I don't want anyone to leave here today that not knowing Jesus. So if you have not accepted Christ into your heart, I want to give you the opportunity to come up here, and I want to pray for you. We want to lead you to a relationship with Him. If you have had a relationship and maybe you've struggled, we want you to come forward and we want to pray for you as well, all right? So we're going to keep praying. If you would come forward as we do this, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Where we proclaim your name, this is a house of healing. Our hearts are full of faith. You have our full attention. You have the final say. Ahead, and as we're kind of coming to a close here, I know we got some people up here praying still, and that's fine. If you have anything you need prayer for, we'll stick up here for a minute, but we are going to go ahead and release you to go back to your homes. Be with us Wednesday. We have our family night here in the teen service. We have a special speaker, Pastor Joe's cousin Nick. He cut his teeth teaching me in that department back there. He's coming to speak to us this Wednesday. So be a part of all these services. Come with us. We love you. God bless you, and we can't wait to see you again.